Okay, tonight I'm going to speak out of Isaiah to start with. We're going to cover a few verses in here. The verses, like Drew said the other day, verses sometimes they explain themselves. You don't have to do any more. But these verses are kind of that way. Subject to my message tonight is, do we think too little of God? And you heard this question probably many times, but that's one that kind of hit me this week when I was witnessing somebody, and I got to thinking, well, do you think too little of God? And sometimes I think believers do the same thing. We think too little of God. We don't see him as he truly is. We see him as us. Sometimes the people who don't know him think they're like themselves, and they can change his mind, change the things in the world with prayer. They think they can work their way unto salvation and this sort of thing. But I hope that when I get done tonight, when we talk about God, we're going to see him in such a elevated place that it's beyond, we have an idea, but it's beyond what most people would think. Most people think that he's like us and that he's just right there and we can deal with him. But God is so much higher than us than we have any idea. And our minds are full of sin, and sometimes it blocks us from seeing things as they are. But if you're a believer tonight, you have God has revealed himself to you. And he's shown you enough, or as much as he sees fit for you to know. And some things we'll never know until we see him face to face. But when you look into the Word, you realize that, oh my, he is so much more than even what we think. He is just beyond your imagination. So turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Okay, we're going to start reading here, talking about who God is. We're going to establish how, above all things, that he is. We in ourselves, we have an idea of who he is, but with our sin and our arrogance, and even believers sometimes, we don't see him that way. But in our hearts, we know it to be so. But just in our minds and living day to day, we don't think about him as being this way. But it says in verse 8, when we talk about God, people think about, well, they know what he does and what he should do and all, and they think of him as a king. As a king, sometimes it has his own country, his own nation, and he rules over that nation, and he sentences people to death, or he may give them what they want or more than what they want, but he's the final voice in that kingdom. But to see the thing of it is, God placed him there too. God is greater than even a king. So in chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, it says here, this is talking about God. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So my thoughts are not your thoughts. He doesn't think like us. We're limited in the things that we think about. He knows all. And when we think about him, we don't think about him as he truly is. He says that my thoughts are not your thoughts. We don't think like Christ does. We don't think like he does. We know him and we worship him, but we don't know all those things that he involved with. Neither are his ways or your ways my ways. For the heavens are higher than the earth. So when you think about God in the heavens, it's higher than the earth beyond anything we have any idea. It's out of our reach mentally, and we're not there as far as the saved people yet. Heaven is just, it's way beyond more than we can imagine. But the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are the ways, my ways, higher than your ways. And that's why we a lot of times don't understand why, or people don't understand his plan of salvation, because His ways are not our ways, and my thoughts are more and my thoughts than your thoughts. So do we think too little of God? Heaven's out of reach. But God spoke to the elements, and they obeyed and formed time and formed our world. He was able to, he was a God before the world ever began. He spoke things into being. His power is more than we can even imagine. To be able to speak to the elements, and the elements form things. And his ways are perfect ways. He is perfect in all ways. But his power is more than we can imagine. You know, like I said, we think like a king. But being God, he can do as he pleases for his good pleasure and glory. And that's one thing that people have trouble getting around, is because we don't really know exactly how great his pleasure is, how much it is, and what his pleasure is. We don't know all of that. This has all been formed for his pleasure. He's beyond us, and for his pleasure and also for his glory. We can't question the things that God did, because it's for his glory. He did it for himself. We're here because he did it for himself. And that's why we always think that we're greater than what we truly are. Turn to Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Just thinking about God. Greater than we are. Greater than we think that he is. That's what's so amazing. I was witnessing someone this week, and they had no clue. We talked about how he could rest in God. We could, you know, we can rest in our salvation. We could believe him. But all the things in the world were bothering him so bad, he could not grasp the fact that who God truly is. He didn't see him as great as he is. But in here it says in Romans chapter 9, verse 21, we're talking about the potter and the clay. All these verses you all are familiar with. But it says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to, excuse me, to dishonor? He formed man in his own image to do with as he pleased. He is the potter, we're the clay, and he just does with us as he pleases. He made one to honor and one to dishonor. Isn't that amazing? What's he making one for dishonor for? Why wouldn't he have an opportunity to be honorable? Change his ways. Be like God. You can't do it. Do you question what he says? Well, right here it says we should not question him. He's the potter and we're the clay. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. He before prepared them. Before time he prepared them, the vessels of for glory and those for wrath, before the beginning of time. This was not something that came later, and it was not something that we convinced him of. We have, so many people cannot grasp this because they feel like they're losing their own power. But the thing of it is, he's made salvation secure for us. We couldn't make it that way in and of ourselves. So we're thankful that God did this. Believers love the fact that he chose us and set forth a salvation plan for us before the world began. That is so wonderful, because if you know him, then what he's done is secure. It's sure. It's sure. And you know that when he reveals himself to you. As he saith to Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. So God is already, even though he set things in order and into motion, he still... He's still in control of all things. Let's see, I lost my place here. We think of God in a manner that we fit him in our own limited knowledge of what man is. We're told to pray, and prayer will change things. It changed my changed the things for things around us. We have situations that happen, and we pray, and we think God will change it. Preachers all over the place tell you, pray, and God changes things. God don't change things, and He can't change things. We want things to be our way. You know, the weather, work situations, money, and, you know, give us money and positions. We want it our way, not His way. And so, therefore, we think too little of God, and we think we can change things. But prayer changes you. It does not change things. It doesn't change situations. They will have to be the way they are. We can help with situations, we think. He'd think we didn't have powers that He has. We dream out in our mind how to do or say things to affect situations. That's just us. That's the way we are as people. We just think we can, we're under control. We think we can talk people into salvation even. And you can't do that. But you see, the thing of it is, let's go here to let's go here to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's talk about God, His position, what He's done, and how He's done it. You know, we think about Him like us, and we don't put Him in a situation where this God was before the world began. He spoke things into being. He's just greater than anything you can know. And if he's here for you and you're His children, this God that spoke things into being is the one that's caring for you every day. It says in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He did that before, at the very beginning. But you see, the thing of it is He spoke it all into being, and He spoke He says in verse 1, He says, God spake and light appeared. The verses after this, He talks about that. He spoke and light appeared. He spoke the firmament. He created earth and sea. He created day and night. Creatures. He created creatures. Made all animals on the earth and created man. All were created. And then when that was done, God sat down and rested. Can you imagine? Earth didn't exist. It wasn't here. We don't know what was out there, but Earth wasn't here. We in this period of time, time didn't exist until God made it time. All this He did before the world ever began. God is even more than this. Before the creation of the world, He set forth a plan for man. This is something that man does not understand in and of himself. He predestinated all things. He set up a world that all these things would happen in order so that it's all for His children, so that His children, when it comes time for them to go home, they go home and they go to heaven. Everything is in order. Your salvation is sure and perfect. Nothing can interfere with it. But He did that before He spoke the world into being. Before time, He did that. Our life, where we're at, what we do, where we go, all these things were set up before the world began. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And we always go to Ephesians, but it's so clear. Well, you're going to get there before I am. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about man and how our salvation was set up before the world began. We sometimes don't think of God as this much, but before the world ever began, there was no time, there was no earth, there was no light, there was nothing. And God chose a people. He elected a people. That means that He elected each one of you, and He knows you by name, And you're his child, and when the fullness of time came for you, he revealed Christ unto you, and he's keeping you. Everything was planned out for you. For you. It says here in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All this is done in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The world didn't exist. Sometimes you think about it, well, the world was here and then he chose out people. No, this was before time. This was eternity past. It was done. He chose a people, each one of you. And according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, he predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, do you have free will? People think they got a free will. When it comes to this, they think they got a free will. You know, I can be a good churchgoer. I can be a good generous, be a good neighbor, do all these things and get favor with God. And I can say yes to him if I want, and I can say no to him if I want. But you see, the way it says here, we don't have that freedom. Man does not have that free will. I got up this morning and put on my pants and my shirt and drank me some coffee, and all these decisions I thought I was making, he predestinated all things concerning you in this world, but it's for you. He said, I predestinated, I pre-planned us unto the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This God that spoke the world in being for all believers made us accepted in the beloved. Here we are, lost sinners, dead in our sin, and before the foundation of the world, God set forth a plan that his Son would come and pay the price for our sins and overcome death for each one of you. He did this before the beginning of time. He set everything up so that nothing can interfere with you and your life. In whom we have a redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, we don't own salvation. It's like Drew said the other day in his message. Salvation, God owns it. That's his salvation. And he graces you with it. It says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. He hath made known unto you the mystery of his will. Not everybody sees this. Not everybody believes this. Not everybody is given faith to know this and to believe this. I was talking to somebody one day, and he said, I don't hear what you're saying, but he says, I don't know how to do that, how to have faith, how to believe that. He didn't either, and we didn't either. We didn't have faith, and we couldn't conjure up faith. That is given unto you by God. And so, therefore, we understand, and we understand this plan of salvation. We understand this God, but just sometimes we don't think of him as that great. That big. It says here, salvation was for his pleasure. Well, he elected a people for his pleasure. And we don't know why he elected us. And we don't know why he chose who he did. And we don't know why, even the names that we have, he knows who we are. Before the world began. This is something that just blows my mind, because what so many people, and including us many, many times, we don't think of God as this great, as this high, as this mighty that he is. We don't think of that. It says, in the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, there it again, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Of God's will, not ours. All things after his own will. It's just something for his pleasure. We believe it, we have faith, we see him in faith, and yet there's so much we don't see. He's revealed to himself, to us with so many things. He reveals to us what he sees fit. The fact that we have faith, it just hit me the other day when I was talking to somebody, the fact that we even have faith is given to us, and before that, we couldn't conjure up faith, and we didn't know what it was. We tried to do it, but we didn't know what faith was. We could not rest. We didn't understand at all what faith is until God revealed himself to us. And then we believed, and we believed in him, even though he's spiritual, that he exists regardless of what anybody says or what we think. We know who he is, that he exists, and that he is our Lord and our Savior, that he's done all things for us. Let's turn back to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 25. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom then will he liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? He says here, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things, that brings out their hosts by number. He called them all by names by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why saith thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither gets weary? He's never tired. He faints not. He's looking after you, and he faints not. Nothing surprises him. He never gets tired. He's always watching over you. There is no searching of his understanding. Everything he does is holy and right, and there's no end to his understanding. Our thoughts aren't his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways, because we don't have full understanding. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk not faint. So when we look at our Lord that in this light, he's created these things that brings out lift up your eyes, and behold who hath created these things, that brings out their hosts by number and calls them by names by the greatness of his might. Turn to Isaiah chapter 41. 41, verse 8 to 9. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Again, he's our God, and everything that happens, he sets up, he chooses, and he makes happen. Turn to Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. God who created this universe, created all things. And he says, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom I delighteth, in this man that walks this earth, this human who is depraved, who he has saved and paid the, and made it so that that servant, that elect, can stand before him in pure righteousness. They can't stand before him in there and over themselves. But he created a way that his elect can, that his children can stand before him. He did that through the blood of Christ, and Christ overcome death so that we can be standing before him. The sacrifice that his son made for us is absolutely beyond amazing. He says, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. He put his son through all the agony that he had to go through, satisfied the law for us, but he delights in us. That's why he did it. Turn to Isaiah 42, 6 and 8. I, the Lord, have called thee to righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of mine people, and for a light of the Gentiles. Turn to 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God is a jealous God. He's going to have his glory. He's going to satisfy himself with his work. And it's his glory that's going to be received. And he delighteth in our souls. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Don't you sometimes doubt when you pray for something, or you need help, or you pray? Maybe he won't answer your prayers. Maybe he won't hear, you know. But no, he delights in his elect, in his children. And he does all these things for us. And he says, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Called you by your name. We name our children, don't we? We name them the name that God gave us to name. He lets nothing by chance. This God leaves nothing by chance. Try verse 7. 43:1-7. 43:7. Even everyone that is called by the name, for I have created him from my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. He's talking about his children. And verse 10 to 13, he says here, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, and ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am before me. There is no God formed, neither shall there be one after me. He is the only God. Salvation is only through him. He says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You have to know this God that I'm talking about. There is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? He's got power. He's more than we could ever imagine. And then verse 21 and 25, he says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. And then 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Do we think of God as too little? Do we not think of him as who he is? Many people do, I think believers are better at thinking about who God is and knowing who he is than unbelievers. He says that you can't come to me and that you won't come to me as a people, as a lost people, as sinners. He says you won't do it. But when it says it here in this word that you will come and that he will take care for his children, he will care for you, he takes pleasure in you, he made it so that you know him. And sometimes I think we just forget how great he truly is. One thing we have trouble with is we need to let go of ourselves. We think we're more than we truly are. We're not that great in and of ourselves. We have no right to think of ourselves too great. We have no right to that because we're sinners. And you can read here where God is the one that saved us because we have no abilities. We have the word to show us who God is, but many times it slips out of our mind or we don't look. God's elect understand God to the amount he reveals, but more than natural man. He reveals a certain amount about who he is to you, but natural man just has his own imagination. He doesn't know how great God truly is. Natural man is made blind by God that he may show his love and grace in his elected children. Thing of it is, can you believe this? We do. We believe this. If you're here and lost, or lost someone here that's lost, or if we had talking to someone on the street, they don't believe this. Not unless God opens their ears and eyes and reveals himself to it, they don't believe this and they don't understand. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing they don't understand because they couldn't stand it with the condition they're in. But the thing of it is, if knowing this God is who he is different than life, it's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And hell is not something that ends. It goes on forever, for man can never pay for his debt to God. So hell goes on forever. But eternity with this God is guaranteed. It's sure. You don't have to worry about losing it. His work goes on forever, and it's for his glory. Think about this. Do we think too little of God? Reminisce upon these verses if that's the case. Matt, would you pray for us? Let's push stop, but I don't know if that's right. Nope.